We all have a next step to take, but that step is different for each person. Brazos Point's God-given mission, the whole reason we exist, is guiding people to take the next step with God. So what do those next steps look like? If God wants a personal relationship with each one of us, how does that relationship grow? How can I own my faith? Growth doesn't happen on accident. It requires a plan.
Well, in this series, Guide Marks, we're talking a lot about personal growth, and I think many of us recognize that some of the greatest moments of growth in our life come in the valleys, in the hard times. And you know, when struggles come into our lives, I think there's one of two things, one of two ways that people respond. Either they lean into God and they grow, or they run from God and they hide. I want you to hear a story of a friend of mine this morning. Y'all welcome Jeff Masterson to the stage. Yeah. So Jeff knows what it is to go through some hard times and some experience some growth from God because of that. So Jeff, share your story with us.
Sure. Well, a few years ago, I went through a very difficult divorce. Not that any divorce is easy. The emotional toll it took on me was rough. I realized my identity had been wrapped up in her and making her happy instead of finding my identity in Christ. I was simultaneously praying that God would keep us together and angry at him for allowing this to happen, since I knew my marriage was part of God's plan for my life and that divorce wasn't part of that plan. I felt broken and guilty and just wondered how God could still use me. I knew I still needed to trust and follow him, and I felt led back to BPF. We had gone to another church, but I felt God was calling me back here. This was my first step in saying yes to God, though at first I was content to just come on the services on Sundays and sit with a buddy of mine.
So I think what's fascinating, Jeff, is that I know your broken heart was telling you to run and hide, but God gave you the wisdom to say yes to him, which I know became a theme of those next steps that you started taking. I want folks to hear some specifics this morning of really how this is fleshed out in your life. So let's talk about some of those specific areas and the ways that these struggles cause you to grow. So how did it cause you to grow in knowledge and application of the Bible?
Well, a buddy of mine invited me to a group Bible study with some other guys. At the time, going through the emotional pain of the divorce, I didn't really want to be around people. But I prayed about it and felt God was encouraging me to go, so I decided to say yes to God and go to the small group. The small group was simply awesome, and the facilitator is a pastor with intense Bible knowledge, including understanding of the original Greek and Hebrew. The deeper digging ignited a new interest in studying the Bible. We even started memorizing Bible verses, which has grown my faith immensely.
Again, when you wanted to isolate, you knew that that wasn't healthy. And this pushed you into developing some accountable and authentic relationships. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so it turns out there just happened to be a couple guys in the small group that had both gone through divorces. They understand what I went through and are extremely supportive. We hold each other accountable in all areas of our lives, and we always have each other's backs. They have grown into my closest friends. I thought, surely this is where God wants me right now. A few weeks into the small group, my buddy, the one who originally invited me, approached me about having one of the other guys live with me as a roommate. I was hesitant, especially since I was going through changes both with the divorce and with work. I prayed about it and felt God encouraging me again, so I said yes to God again, and he moved in. And again, this is exactly what I needed at the time. My new roommate happened to volunteer on the AV team here, and he said I might enjoy it. Again, I'm hesitant to change, and I had never served at BPF before, so I prayed about it and felt God encouraged me to join that team. So I said yes to God yet another time. Turns out the AV team is pretty awesome. I really enjoy learning about and running the different equipment, and I've enjoyed being able to connect with some of the others on the team. I really feel like part of the team and just enjoy serving the church. And the best part about being in the AV team is that I caught the eye of a certain connections minister. At first, I was hesitant because I didn't know if I was emotionally or psychologically ready for dating at the time, but I was certainly enjoying her friendship. However, after praying about it and being about a year after the divorce, I felt ready to date. So I started pursuing her, and dating her is a whole other story, but now we're engaged and I could not be happier.
Awesome. Yeah. You guys, do y'all have time to hear that other story? I mean, I think I do, right? Well, maybe we'll save that for another day. But what I know is, like you said, it shaped your identity and taught you about identity in Christ. And it puts you in this season where you just said, I'm going to say yes to God. And all of that has led you to a place where you've really grown in understanding what it is to depend on God. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I think he's proven to me that no matter what, he still cares about me and wants a relationship with me. He wants us to depend on him in the struggles, but also when life is going well. We always have a seat at his table, even if we feel we don't have anything to offer. Looking back at the whole process, I guess God knows what he's doing, and saying yes to him has truly been life-changing.
I love it. Y'all give Jeff a hand. What I love about Jeff's story is I think it's such a good picture of grace and redemption and restoration and acceptance. And I know that there are some specific people this morning that I knew just that you would be encouraged. You'd be encouraged by his vulnerability and his authenticity. So Jeff, I just appreciate you being authentic and sharing the way that you have.
I want you to think about the most intentional friend you have ever had. This is a person who remembers your birthday. They call, they text, they keep up with you, find out what's going on. They drop by and see you at your place. They invite you over to their place. If they move away, they'll continue to keep in touch with you and call and text. And if they come back to town, you know they'll drop by to see you. And if they know you're coming their way, they'll drop everything to see you. Who is that most intentional person, intentional friend you've ever met? For me, it's a guy named Marcus. Marcus is 10 years younger than me. I was his youth minister, his new youth minister, when he was a senior in high school, when I first moved back to Orange to be a youth minister there. And Marcus was the kind of student that would come by our house at 11 at night on a school night and say, hey, guys, y'all still up? You know, and where we are now, you know, and it's like, could you tell? And he would just stay and talk, visit. He was comfortable being there very late, talking to us. But Marcus was that kind of guy. He was just, we just grew on each other. And Marcus, when he went off to school at Baylor, he continued to keep in touch with us. He would tell us what was going on with his life there, and he would still come and drop in on us late at night, just on the weekends now, whenever he was home. He introduced us to several of the girls he dated through that time and even after college when he graduated. And when he brought Autumn here to town to introduce us to her, we knew she was the one because we knew him, because we had that friendship that he had really been so much an initiator for. When I had a conference in Waco, when he was still in school there, he encouraged me to skip the night session I was in, and go to a campus Bible study by this new guy in town nobody had ever heard of named Lou Giglio. And he said, I think this guy's really got some great stuff to say. And we went there and saw Giglio. All that, this was before the Passion Movement came on the scene that reshaped a whole generation of college students and young adults. It started in Waco. Is where all that began. And I remember going to that thing, it was called Choice then, that we went to, and the music was different. It was music I was not used to. It was really like the music that we sing today. But this was the late 80s and early 90s. And I remember just really not caring for it that much. I said, man, I just love the old hymns. That's fine with me, man. You just need to grow up and get used to those things. And he convinced me that, well, maybe God may be doing something new. And he kept sending me cassettes of all these different kinds of musicians until I finally started saying, I think you got something there. I think God may be doing something there. He was always the kind of person that would push us and challenge us. He would call us out if he felt like we were being insincere. And, of course, he allowed us to do the same with him. Well, Marcus is a busy interior designer now. He lives in the Hill Country. He's married. He's got 4 kids. And yet when he's doing work in Houston or Galveston, he still sometimes tries to check in and see how we're doing. We're still good friends. I've never known anyone who is as intentional about relationships and keeping them alive as him. And that's why we're still great friends to this day. When Kathy and I think about how can we be more intentional in our relationships, what do we need to do? Marcus is the gold standard. We learn from Marcus and from other people like him that spiritual growth absolutely cannot happen without friends. It just is not going to happen. It can't happen. And not just any friends either. We need friends who are real and who are authentic. people who will hold us accountable, people who will hold us accountable to keep our word, to be who we say we are, and also to keep Jesus first in our lives. We realize through Marcus and other people like him, we need friends to grow. We just cannot grow without them. And neither can any of you. We all need friends. If you would, pick up the God Marks card that's sitting next to you on the seat, or maybe you've already saved one from previous weeks and it's in your Bible. Pull it out. I hope you will hang on to these cards because this is more than a message series. This is one part, one of the four parts of our four-point simple strategy. There are only four things that we do as a church. It's got to fit under one of these. We gather in rows each Sunday for the weekend worship experience. We circle up in people's homes to build community and to study the Bible on a deeper level. We find a place to serve in volunteer ministry because you know it, because here at Brazos Point,
we serve.
Everybody serves. Everybody. We serve. That's the Lions Club motto, I think. No. Anyway, everybody serves. Got any Lions here? Anyway, doesn't matter. All right. Anyway, so we do those three things, and we do those together corporately. But we develop personal habits to grow spiritually. And that's what these guide marks are about. If you would, they're listed, the five guide marks on here that help us grow spiritually, help us personally take responsibility for our own growth. I want to call your attention to the third mark, which is investing in accountable relationships. That's where we're going today. So with this card in hand, if you would open your Bible to Acts chapter 18, verse 18. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one. You can just pick one up as you walk out there at the Welcome Center, right on your way out. If you're looking for it, Acts is in the New Testament of the Bible, so it's three-fourths of the way, really more than three-fourths of the way across your Bible. Look for Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts, and then Romans after that. You'll find it. What we're going to see today is that investing in authentic relationships is absolutely essential to personal growth. We'll see this today in this story in the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells about the growth of the early church, the first churches of Christianity after Jesus ascended into heaven. But it's not just about the church, the growth of the church. As we look at the stories of people in the book of Acts, we see the things that they did, the steps that they took for their own personal growth. And we're going to see that in several characters today. We're going to see it in a man by the name of Paul. Paul was the early church's greatest missionary. He was from Israel. He actually was from a place called Tarsus, but he grew up in Israel. And then he traveled around Europe telling people about Jesus. He met some people in Europe named Priscilla and Aquila. They were Italian. They were from Rome, and they lived in Rome until Emperor Claudius kicked all the Jews out of Rome. They ended up in Corinth where they met Paul. And then we're going to see another guy come on the scene. His name was Apollos. Apollos was from Africa. He lived in the city of Alexandria in Egypt. And we're going to see how God put these different people here, these four different people together in accountable relationships. We'll start at Acts 18, verse 18. It says, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. We'll find out how long that is in a moment. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, look at verse 19. They arrived in Ephesus where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. And we'll see in verse 21, it says, but as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will. Then he set sail from Ephesus, and he left. Okay, there's a lot that we see by looking at this 18th chapter of Acts. Earlier in the chapter, we see that Paul stayed in Corinth with Priscilla and Aquila for a year and a half. Now, something that they had in common is Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker. And so they joined forces. They worked together by day. And then in the evenings and weekends, they served in the church together. Their friendship grew. They became great friends, close friends, as well as partners in sharing the gospel with people in Corinth. Their friendship continued when they all left Corinth and moved to Ephesus. And what we see here, I want you to write this down in your message notes. If you want to grow spiritually, you must be intentional about building relationships. You can't just wait for it to happen. You've got to be intentional about it, and that will help you grow spiritually. Paul was always very intentional in his relationships with others. In fact, in a letter that he wrote to the church in Corinth after they left and went to Ephesus, he explained why he was so intentional. Hold your place in Acts. Let me just read this to you, part of the letter that he wrote to the Corinthian church. He said, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. You see that? I do all this. Do you know what all this was? all this was building intentional relationships. He could just as easily have said, he said, I become all things to all people. He could just as easily have said, I build intentional relationships with all the people that I can so that I may, for the sake of the gospel, and so that I can share in its blessings. You see, Priscilla and Aquila, they picked up on this intentionality after Paul left. And they did the same with others. And here we see Apollos coming onto the scene. Look at verse 24. Meanwhile, this is after Paul left Ephesus. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, that's in Egypt, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. The scriptures, I said this a few weeks ago, we're talking about the Hebrew scriptures, what we would call the Old Testament of our Bible. Verse 25, he, Apollos, had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. Now, think about that statement. He taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. What that means is he had only heard of John the Baptist. He had not ever heard of Jesus, and yet he talked about Jesus accurately. You see, John came on the scene right before Jesus. He was a prophet that God sent ahead of Jesus to say, the Messiah is here. The Messiah is coming very, very soon. And get ready for him. Well, that was John's message, and Apollos heard it. I don't know if Apollos had been to Israel and heard John the Baptist preach in person, or if he just got the message down in Alexandria where he lived. But now he has moved up off of the African coast and up into Europe, and he's talking about this Jesus. Based on John the Baptist preaching and what he saw in the Hebrew Bible, the prophecies he read in the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, he put together a picture of what Messiah would be like and what he would do when he came. He described Jesus accurately without having any knowledge Jesus already existed. He connected the dots between John's preaching and the Hebrew scriptures in a way that nearly all of the religious leaders and scholars in Israel completely missed, but he got it. He put it together. It was very clear to him. He knew exactly what Jesus would be like. He just didn't know Jesus had already come to the earth. He didn't know that Jesus had already sacrificed his life on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins so we could be forgiven of our sins and be connected with God in a way that God has always desired for us to be. He didn't know that Jesus had already returned to heaven and left the message and left the job of sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with his disciples to spread that around the world. And so he is preaching and teaching these people about what Messiah is going to be like, and he doesn't know he's already come. And I can just see the people sitting in the synagogue with him when he's talking about, hey, this Messiah's coming, he's going to do this, this, and this. And they're probably sitting there going, you act like he hasn't come. Messiah's got a name, you know, Jesus, right? You know that. That's what they're thinking. And the answer is, no, he didn't. He was just unaware. They didn't have social media in those days. It took time for news to travel around the world. Well, I was in seminary, that's grad school for ministers, when the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded shortly after takeoff. I'll never forget that day. It was such an exciting time that morning. It was going to be the most significant space shuttle launch yet because a teacher, Krista McAuliffe, was on that. And all America was watching that. And I remember I was thinking, I think I can watch it take off and still make it to class on time. And so I watched about the first 30 seconds of that takeoff. Then I shut the TV off and headed quickly to class. The shuttle exploded at 73 seconds after takeoff, and everyone on board perished. Well, I got to class on time. The prof was a little bit late. And when he walked in, he said, I guess everybody's heard about the shuttle now. And I said, yeah, I watched it take off. Man, that's pretty cool. That was awesome. And everybody turned and looked at me like I just shot a puppy or something. You know, like, what? I didn't know until they filled me in on what had happened in less than a minute after I had turned off the TV and left. I only knew part of the story until they filled me in. And Apollos only knew part of the story of Jesus until Priscilla and Aquila would fill him in on it. And they didn't call him out while he was in the synagogue teaching and say, hey, wait, time out. Don't you know? They just waited for him, and then they talked to him afterwards. Look at verse 26 of Acts 18. He, talking about Apollos, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. They let him know that the prophecies he talked about, that he had so clearly understood, had already been fulfilled by Jesus. They were very intentional in the way. They didn't just talk to him afterwards. They invited him to their home. They invested some time in him. Do you see a pattern? Paul was intentional with Priscilla and Aquila. And now they are intentional with Apollos. Intentional, authentic relationships are absolutely essential to spiritual growth. You can't just wait for it to happen. It won't happen on its own. You've got to be intentional about building relationships. Priscilla and Aquila were very intentional by inviting Apollos into their home, and a friendship grew and developed there, just like the friendship that Paul had invited them into when they were in Corinth and then in Ephesus. And now they're passing it on. Well, as we keep reading through Acts 18, sometime later, we'll see that Apollos told his friends that he was moving. He was moving to a town called Achaia. And when he did, his friends in Ephesus, we don't know which ones. It might have been Priscilla and Aquila, or it could have been some other friends that he was there, friends with there. They wanted to make sure that he had friends in the new place that he was going to, friends in Achaia, the city he would be moving to. Now, if you have ever moved, you know how hard it is when you make a move. And some of you, you're like that right now. You're about to move, or you've just moved here. It's difficult adjusting to a new town, new jobs, new schools, learning new places to shop, new places to get your car worked on, to have your hair done. It's hard. It can be really hard, especially if you don't know anyone. It's made easier if you do know someone, or if someone you know knows someone and they introduce you ahead of time to help you make that transition. We have had two couples from Texas move to Seattle, Washington, to help out in the church planting movement that we are supporting through our work with Send Seattle and the North American Mission Board. And they are inspired by that, and they want to be a part of that. So they've moved up there. And before that, when we found out they were moving, we connected them with friends. We didn't send letters with them. We sent emails ahead and texts and told our friends in Seattle about them. And it was so cool to see how our friends in Seattle just quickly jumped on that opportunity and embraced them and welcomed them into their town, into a very large city, but with friends already there for them. It helps make that transition. That's exactly what Apollos' friends were wanting to do for him. Look at verse 27. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. Paul was intentional in building a relationship with Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila and Priscilla were again intentional in pursuing a relationship with Apollos. Paul helped Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila and Priscilla helped Apollos at first, and then Apollos helped them because he was such a sharp guy. When they helped him with his growth, he just took off and just became such a powerful leader in the church. And then when he is moving to another town, to Achaia, the friends in Ephesus were intentional in helping him find friends to help him land well when he got to the new place. And when he arrived there, they helped him, and then he helped them. He flourished, and so did the people who were with him. And we see Apollos' name popping up in other places there in the story of Acts and in the Bible because of intentional, authentic relationships. Relationships with other Christ followers, folks, they're vital. They are vital to our growth. So here is week 3 challenge, okay? I want you to write this in your message notes as well. Invest in others. Invest in others and let them invest in you. I mean, really be intentional. Invest in others. Let them invest in you. You will never become the person that God created you to be apart from authentic, real, accountable relationships. It won't happen. And here's why, okay? There's several reasons why you want to do this. First of all, it will stretch you. It will stretch you in really good ways. It may be a little bit difficult, but it will be good. A verse I mentioned a few weeks ago, Proverbs 27:17. I mentioned it then. It applies today as well. I'll say it again. It's as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So one person sharpens another. That's an image. We all need someone. We need iron sharpening iron. We need someone who will ask us the hard questions and someone that we're willing to ask questions of. Someone who will stretch our understanding of what being a real friend is. A friend who will ask us questions like, hey, have you apologized to your wife yet? You know, you and I both know that you were the bigger part of that problem. You've told me, but have you told her? Have you apologized yet? And they'll hold you accountable to do that. They'll ask you questions like, hey, are you sticking to your budget? I know you said, man, you just blew it all out in December and you promised you were never going to do that again. You're going to get in better shape. Okay, what are you doing? Are you taking steps to do that? You paying down the debt? Are you working to move forward? They'll ask you questions like, how's your time with God been lately? You know, I'm sensing that maybe there's a disconnect going on. They will ask you that. They'll say things like, you know, have you called your mom lately? She'd like to hear from you more than like when she calls you. Have you called your grandfather? They just will help you with those kinds of things as they get to know you and know what's important in your life. They'll press on even tougher subjects. They'll ask things like, hey, are you being honest on your taxes this year? Did you cheat on them? Did you report that cash income that you know there's no trail, but you know, in honesty, you should? Did you do that? Students will ask you, hey, did you cheat? Sounds like everybody cheated on that test today. Did you? I'll ask you the tough questions. Whether you're a student or an adult, they'll ask you questions like, hey, man, did you stay up late at night looking at porn on your phone? Are you still cutting? That's something a friend can ask. And that's something you need a friend to ask. You need people who ask those questions. And you need to be the kind of person who will ask those questions of them. And let me just tell you, if you are a conflict avoider, you just don't like it, you think it's better to let it go, you will stall out in your growth in that area. There is growth that you will miss if you avoid conflict. Go back and think about that verse. As iron sharpens iron, that's the image of swords striking one another. It creates sparks. It can be tough and heated, but it's good. It's good. I met an author, Andrew Walker, last month at the Evangelicals for Life conference I attended, and he's written several books. I've quoted him before, and he's written books that tell us kind of how to relate to a culture that is ever-changing and how to be able to connect with that and how to answer some of the questions that culture throws at us as Christians who put all of our beliefs on the Bible. Well, among the many things that he has said that are really profound, I think one of the most he's ever said is he said, communicating truth and love requires relationship. Think about that. To be able to communicate truth and really love, even tough love, it requires relationship. You can preach at someone all day long and never get through. But if you take the time to listen to them, to settle down over a cup of coffee, listen to them and have them listen to you, express their concerns, you express your concerns to them, over time, a bridge is built between that, between the two of you. And that kind of bridge can carry some pretty heavy truths across it. You and I need those kinds of friends. When you grow to love someone as a Christian brother or a Christian sister, and let me just say, these accountable friendships, men, it needs to be other men. Ladies, it needs to be other ladies. When you build those kind of relationships, when you grow to love someone as a Christian brother or sister, you'll be willing to tell them the truth. You'll be willing to become so authentic with them that you'll care more about their soul and their growth than their approval. And when you're really willing to go that far with them, they will love you back for it. Yes, it may be tough, but that's what a friend does. That's when you know someone really loves you, when they stay with you. Because see, when you invest in those kinds of friendships, write this down, you'll have support when you need it. And you need that. Reggie Joyner is a person that many in our Next Gen ministry, it's a name you'd recognize and many of you have probably met him. He nailed it when he said, we mature spiritually not by learning how to be superhuman. We do it by learning how to lean into God and each other when we bump against life. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. You need other people. I need other people. We need to learn to lean into God. We need to learn to lean into other people because there are times when we are too weak to handle what's coming at us. We hurt too much to move forward without someone moving with us. Galatians 6:2 captures this idea perfectly. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. One of the most basic things you will ever learn about spiritual growth is that we cannot do it alone. We just can't. We have to carry each other's baggage sometimes. I mean, think about monks. Even monks in a monastery have to learn to get along with other monks. Okay? It's not all silence and solitude. Don't you know sometimes some monk is thinking, that monk just gets on my last nerve, you know? They've got to figure it out too. You cannot grow in Christ without other people around you. A devotional I read some time ago called this type of relationship, he called it a circle of safety. So it's like one or two or three other friends, a circle of safety. Do you have that? Do you have a circle of safety that you can go to that will give you support? It's a circle, a circle of friends, maybe one or two or three people that you can call any time of day or night, anytime. Learning to trust them with your heart, your life, your work. It's really parallel to trusting God. As you learn to trust them, you'll learn to trust God. As you learn to trust God more, you'll learn to trust others. Maybe just a tight circle of folks, but that circle of safety that you have. I want you to think about your relationship with God. With God, whether you've chosen to follow him or not, you are fully known and completely accepted by God. You're fully known and completely accepted. When you grasp that truth, that in God you're fully known and yet he still loves you, then you can love others that way and you can allow other people to come into your life and love you that way. Choosing to invest in others, it will do more than just give you safety. It'll do more than just protect you. It's more than just helping you against the tough times and someone to vent to. Really, it's more than what happens when life hurts or attacks. When you have this kind of circle of safety and this kind of friendships, it'll help you gain ground in life. Actually, what it'll do is it'll help you take next steps, positive next steps in your life. Sometimes they're great big steps. Sometimes they're just little steps. But they'll help you in that. They'll encourage you forward. The book of Hebrews in the Bible, which some scholars think may have been written by Apollos. We don't really know. But Hebrews reminds us of our potential to help one another take next steps and move forward in life when it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's consider how we can do this. Let's consider how we can encourage one another to take their next step with God, to move forward in really loving people, even if that's tough love, and doing good deeds, taking next steps with him. That's what this circle of authentic friendships will help you do. We need each other. We all do. Just like Jeff needed others when his life was shattered. They were there for him. They not only supported him when he was down, they continued to be with him. That group of friends is still existent. They're still friends, and they're still helping one another. They helped him grow. He was a good man then. I knew him then. He's an even better man now. And some of that is due to them helping him, and I am certain you could talk to any one of those guys, and they would tell you that Jeff has helped them to grow as well, because iron sharpens iron. So one man, so one woman sharpens another. Listen, I want you to think about something as we close here. I want you to think about someone that you need to be more intentional with. It may be someone who is already a friend, someone you already know, or maybe someone or a couple of folks that you just sense that this relationship could be stronger. This could be the kind of person that could be an accountable, real friend. Something that could develop if you encouraged it. It could be a peer. It could be someone younger, like Marcus was with me, 10 years younger. It could be someone who's a little ahead of you in life, who's older than you. First, before you kind of take those next steps, let me give you some ideas on how to find out if this person is going to be safe or not, because it's really important. You can't be this authentic or real with everybody to the degree that we're talking about here. I mean, you can be real and authentic, but there's some things that you just need to share with people who are safe. So here's one way to find out if they're safe. You could say something sometime. You may say something like, you know, man, I really struggle with anger sometimes, or I struggle with pride, or man, I've just been struggling with porn lately. And then look at their reaction. And if their reaction is something like, yeah, man, I got the same problem. Yeah, I've struggled with that. Or maybe they may say, well, that hasn't been my issue, but this is kind of, you know, I kind of struggle with this, you know. Then they may be safe. Then you may be able to take that relationship a step further. But if when you say something to them, they look like really shocked, like we don't talk about that kind of stuff, you know, and very uncomfortable. Or if they just come right back at you and say, well, you know, the Bible says so-and-so, and they just start telling you what to do and maybe quoting all these scripture verses to help you defeat that and all, they may not be that safe a person. You might want to keep looking and find someone else, but don't quit looking. I love what Randy and Jeff said, that Jeff didn't hide. Even though it would have been easier just to hide and just be by himself and try to work it through there. Don't do that. Don't give up. When you find that person or persons that you really can be real and authentic with, then You've got to invest more of yourself in them and they in you. At some point, you're going to have to risk something and go a little bit deeper. You're going to have to say something like that. You know, I don't just struggle a little bit with anger. I rage at times. It's out of control. I scare my husband or I scare my wife or kids. And I'm just not getting a handle on this. And if it's an authentic friend who knows you more fully, they'll still accept you. They'll pray with you. They'll talk to you. They'll help you. They'll encourage you forward. And someday when you develop those friendships, you'll be able to look back a few years like Jeff did this morning. You'll be able to look back and see how those friendships helped you to grow. You're still on the path, but they're helping you to move forward. And when you do, you'll be so glad that you did. Don't wait another year to start working on friendships like that. Don't wait another month or another week. Start praying. Start asking God, who is that person, those persons? They're around. They're here or somewhere nearby. God will point you to them. Trust him in that. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you've created us in such a way to need you, as we sang earlier, but you also created us to need one another. God, thank you for that combination. Lord, I know that there are people here right now who are frightened or feel lonely and isolated, and they would love to do this. They just have no clue where to start. And they may have lots of friends, but no tight friend, or they may have no friends. God, I pray you'd be with them. Lord, first let them feel your complete presence. Let them feel your and sense that you are with them and that you know them and yet you fully accept and love them. God, help them in that. And God, then I pray that you would begin pointing them to where they can build some relationships. Lord, show them where that next step will be. God, help us to have good friends who keep us focused on who we need to be, where we need to go, and how we need to take our next steps with you. I ask that in the strong name of your son, Jesus. Amen.